Nestor.
This is Nestor.
Hi, this is Tucker with Damn the Yankees.
How you doing?
Good. I'll give you Tommy Shaw here in a minute.
Great.
Nestor?
How's it going, boss?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
I must say that I am indeed the world's biggest Sticks fan.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, I, that was before I was a critic, but now that I'm a critic, I hate you like they all do.
Right. How about the Damn Yankees?
I like the stuff, and I'm happy to hear you got some new stuff out there.
Yeah, so you gotta come see us, and then you'll be a definite Damn Yankees fan.
Well, how is the tour coming?
We're hearing all these horror stories about, you know, tours being slow out here, but we're doing big business.
Really?
Yeah. Must be a good package or something.
Bad company helping sell it, or?
I don't know what the deal is, but people are coming and they're staying.
Well, they played a bar here about a year and a half ago, and they did really, really well. And
yeah.
Yeah,
I think they did go out. They must have gone out and drummed up a lot of business for the new band, and now they're kind of reaping the benefits.
Are they doing the old stuff, too?
They're mixing it up, you know, about half and half.
So you're happy with the progress of your own album? You had two hits now? And
yeah, I mean, the record was gold before we played our first concert. So, you know, usually it takes getting out on the road to support your record to get it to that first milestone like that. So we're very happy with it. You know, the thing that I like about it is that we've been, you know, the music has been accepted just on the basis of, you know, the musical side of it rather than the fact that it's the names of the band, you know, of the band members. So, you know, it's been accepted musically, which is a great thing for us.
So is there kind of a stigma because you guys were stars already? Is sort of something
well,
you have to fight through?
In some ways it's positive, but in some ways it's, you know, it gives people, you know, some sort of preconceived notion about what it might be like. And usually those preconceived notions aren't anywhere near, you know, what reality is. And this is one of those cases. You know, you can listen to our old stuff, but, you know, and you listen to our new stuff, it's got a personality and a sound all its own. Because it's the chemistry that makes the sound. And, you know, it's just like when somebody has babies, you know, you never know what they're going to look like. They all kind of look like their parents, but they all have a look of their own.
Well, it's just sort of, I see you guys as kind of crazy guys together. I mean, from everything I've seen on video, and it's like you can't get enough of each other. So it's like this like new relationship or something where you just want to go hog wild.
Like kids in a candy store out here, and you know, the chemistry is just so perfect. I saw Peter Frampton two nights ago, and he was giving me a hard time about it because I think he would like to be in this band too. All my musician friends want to be in this band.
Ted's a great guy. Ted had me backstage one time at Hammerjacks in Baltimore. He's a wild son of a.
He is. He's a lot of fun. We have just tons of fun out here, and you know, we do not come through town quietly. You know, we make a lot of people nervous, and that's what this is all about. You know, rock and roll is not supposed to be nice and well behaved.
What made y'all go into this this double bill? I mean, instead of going around and playing the rock and roll clubs, and
well, who wants to play clubs when you can play in front of a larger audience?
Or something about you guys just need to sweat on the walls, if you ask me. I mean,
we like the. I love the way we look in basements with written all over the wall. And
you got a little dirty. You need that.
Well, there's definitely that. You know, we took one picture. You know, when we first started doing this, we had to take a lot of publicity shots. And this one photographer set up the beauty shot, you know, and had the girl there moosing up everybody's hair. And it was like, whoa.
Your hand on your chin and all that.
You know, it was like, suck your cheeks in. You know, just take the picture and just give us a comb so we can comb all this out of our hair, because it's just not, you know, it's just not us. This band, you know, in our pictures, most of the time, we look like when we wake up first thing in the morning, and that's kind of what everybody wants to do, you know. I don't think we need to create any kind of false identity for ourselves.
So, how did this thing get together? I mean, I've heard all these romantic stories. What's the bottom line? Who called who first, and how did you bump into Ted or whatever?
Ted and I were sitting next to each other when we were getting ready to release our last solo records. And we were both on Atlantic, and we were at this really long, boring presentation, and the only two cool things about the presentation were Ted's record and my record. And we both were sitting there going, gosh, that sounds, you know, we were just kind of giving each other a five on the way we liked, you know, each other's music. And he said, you know, Ted said, let's get together when this is over with. And most of the time when you say that, you have good intentions, but usually your schedules never, you know, cooperate. You know, somebody will be in the studio while the other guy's on the road and while the other guy's on vacation. But the way it worked out, we were both finished at the same time, and Ted came to New York, and Michael and I were already playing together. Michael toured with me on my last tour. And so the stuff was already set up in a, you know, grungy little rehearsal hall I was getting for free. And Ted came in, borrowed some gear, and we just jammed, and it sounded real good, you know. And so he, next time he came through New York, we did it again. We even went in and cut a demo. It sounded pretty nice. But when we heard Night Ranger broke up, then we both said, tell Jack Blades to get his ass here right now. And so we got on the phone with Jack, and he was pretty, you know, just kind of stymied by the whole thing. It was like, what, you and Ted's? Like, how, you know, what could this be like? So he got on the plane immediately, came, he was there the next day. And, you know, we went into rehearsal, and it sounded exactly like the damn Yankees. And so all of us, it was like, you know, you could imagine what we felt like, that we were sitting there on this little secret. And so we all took a break and started calling our friends, and we overheard Ted trying to describe to one of his friends what it sounded like. He said, it sounded like a bunch of damn Yankees playing, you know, good old shit-kicking American rock and roll. So, you know, we kind of looked at each other, you know, and thought, man, that sounds like a great name for the band.
So how about the travel back and forth? How did that all work out?
Well, it's, you know, it's the same thing we're doing now. None of us ever even considered that until we started doing interviews, when people started asking us that question, because we're all so used to being on the road and traveling anyway.
How long have you lived in New York?
I've been there over 5 years.
Did you ever live in Chicago with Styx?
I lived there for about 2 years, and it wasn't when I was, it was after I left Styx. I moved to Chicago, believe it or not.
Actually, I'm heading out there this weekend. I'm going to be there when you're there. I'm going to vacation out there.
Really?
I'm going to get to Comiskey before they rip it down.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
Yeah. Well, my cousin played for the White Sox forever, and I...
I don't get that.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I mean, it's baseball, you know, it's money.
The place looks great to me, though.
Well, I want to find out about Friday night when I head in there. So to make this not a one-shot thing in the public's eye, are you guys going to move to one place or something?
No, I mean, I don't think that would change anybody's... You know, this band isn't about real estate. You know, rock and roll is a gypsy sort of a life anyway. So none of us are going to move to Michigan. I don't think those guys are going to leave their places to move to Manhattan anytime soon.
Ted is definitely not, man. Ted is Michigan. Ted is backwoods.
Yeah, Ted, I mean, he says Detroit, but he lives on a ranch, you know, 100 miles from Detroit.
So your solo career, why was it so, you know, why didn't it take off? I mean, Girl with Guns, I thought, was just a great song, and the song should have been like a number one song. I thought
I never really aspired to compete with other big solo artists. I just wanted not to be in Styx, and so I did achieve that.
But I think it might have cost you the pocketbook there for a little while.
Record companies, and you know, I had my fling with it, and I did music that I loved. You know, I just wasn't competitive on, you know, in the business though. You know, I still get pleasure out of it, but it was kind of an expensive experiment. And one thing I did realize, you know, my third record to this day, you know, it to me is a competitive record. It's the best record that I made, but it probably should have been my first record. So, you know, I finally had one that was competitive, but by that time I'd lost my desire to be in that sort of you know, relationship with my fans. I wanted to be in a band again.
So what happened to Styx? Why did it fall apart?
Well, the chemistry just shifted. The power of the band, you know, there was a power struggle in there, and I was always the new kid in the band, and never really.
You were never an original.
I was never an original, and never really was accepted that way, even after I grew up in the band. And so, you know, my suggestions were always looked at, you know, like, well, you know, let's just humor him. But now, in retrospect, I'm finding out that my ideas were right on the money. You know, the songs that I thought kept Styx from having truly classic albums to this day are the ones that everybody that I know fast forwards or skips over. And, you know, if things had been different, if I'd gotten my way, I think the band would have a few more classic songs than they do.
Now, which songs were yours? Now, Crystal Ball was yours, right?
Crystal Ball, Fooling Yourself.
Too Much Time on Your Hands?
Too Much Time. Blue Collar Man, Renegade.
Those were yours?
Yeah.
Now, like, the Best of Times and that kind of stuff was all Dennis?
Yeah.
Now, what's your relationship with Dennis?
Right now I don't have a relationship at all with any of them. I haven't spoken to them since the first day we started making the Damn Yankees record, and that was the day they asked me to drop the Damn Yankees and come do a Styx record.
Also, that you were invited to do a Styx record.
Well, yeah, it was funny. I was in L.A. Jack and I had rented we all had apartments out there, and I was waiting for Nevison to say, "All right, we got drum sounds, come on over." And it was Dennis DeYoung instead saying, "Well, got everything together. You know, we need to make a record right now." And it was kind of a it was a strange situation to be in, because I'd considered going back and doing a record with them for a couple of years, and all of a sudden, you know, I was put in a position, well, you got to drop Damn Yankees now to do this, and there was no way I was going to do that. I had long since, you know, just had a, you know, strong desire to do Damn Yankees, and I, you know, it was worth risking all the guaranteed money of doing a Styx record and tour. You know, I knew there would be a guaranteed ton of cash to do that, but with the Damn Yankees, I get to have all this fun, and we're still doing okay, and I'm just having the time of my life out here. So,
are they putting their own record together?
That's done. I think it's going to be out in September.
And that's just four of them, though. That he get official.
And a guy named Glenn Burtnick.
Glenn Burtnick. So, what was JY and the Panazzas what has Dennis done since Desert Moon? Or, I mean, what have they been doing with their lives? What were you doing with your life? I mean,
well, I've been working with Nugent since '88 on this Damn Yankees thing. So, I've been putting this together for 2 years.
And they invited you back when exactly was it?
Well, it was when we started making this record, started recording it on October 23rd of 1989.
And they called you then?
Yeah.
So will a Styx reunion ever happen with you? I mean, are you, now you're out, right? You're no longer a member anymore, right?
All it takes is the right set of circumstances. I'll never play with you again. You
know, right.
There's no point in that. I still have a great fondness for Styx.
You don't hate those guys.
There was never any hatred or anything. There was just a desire to get off the roller coaster. You know, because the roller coaster, just what, you know, how long can you be on a roller coaster and still enjoy it? You know, at a certain point, you got to get off and get your balance again.
How old are you now?
I'm 36.
36. How old's Nugent and Jack?
We're all just within 3 or 4 years of each other's age.
All right. I wasn't sure how old you even were. I just never thought about it.
Well, Nugent's...
You haven't aged. You look the same now as you did in 1980, so...
Yeah, well, I was well-preserved, I guess.
Well-preserved for the rock and roll era. So why does this album have so much harmony to it? You know, the thick, layered Everly Brothers, as you might like to put it, harmonies.
Well, when Jack and I got together, that's just what we did. And when we write, that's just what we do. It comes off that way, you know.
How'd It Come Again come about?
Just sat down and wrote it. You know, it's one of those... All the Damn Yankee stuff, there was no, like, wrenching of our brains to try and get anything to happen. These songs just flow when we get together. You know, one guy will come up with a riff, or someone will come up with a melody, or vice versa. It's all we got to do is say, okay, let's write a song now, and everybody just jumps in there. You know, there's no loss of, there's no, you know, there hasn't been any kind of a writer's block, a group writer's block. If someone's short of ideas, then somebody else will certainly jump in there.
So with the show, is it co-build, or is it, how much time are you getting? How much time are they getting? That's the bottom
line. An hour, and they do the rest.
Right.
But, you know, for us, it's like we're out here to let everybody know who the hell the Damn Yankees are. Because no one knows. We've never been out here, you know. So we are, you know, we're a new band.
And you're doing all just Damn Yankees material?
No, we're doing some of our past. We're doing our favorite things from the past.
What are you doing?
Depending on the night, I'll either do Renegade or Blue Collar Man.
And what does Ted do?
Ted will do Free For All.
Cat Scratch.
Cat Scratch Fever. And Jack does Don't Tell Me You Love Me or Rockin' America.
So you get one of each. Is that right?
Yeah.
The time doesn't allow you to. That's why I say if you were to come out and do your own thing in a club or something, you guys could probably just, you know, go two plus and.
Yeah. See, we go out and play clubs. We just don't advertise it anymore. We'll go out after the gig and take over somebody's gear and, you know, play like that. But I personally, I'm not too crazy about clubs. You know, I don't smoke, and I hate being singing in a smoke-filled room.
Right. All right. Well,
I like going there and spontaneously doing it, but I don't like advertising and letting myself know that tonight I have to go sing for in the smoke filled room. There's some psychological.
We have to do it to get paid.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, I certainly hope I can hook up with y'all next Saturday and say hello. And all right. Well, anyway, I'll see you at Merriweather next weekend.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
See ya.